Well, welcome, Alice and Carissa, to our first, I don't know what to call this, Duke Ivy alumni podcast audio clip conversation thing.
COVID chat edition.
Yes.
Like fireside chat, but COVID chat.
Yes. This is Angela. I'm Angela, and I'm the staff worker for Duke University currently, and over the years, I've had really awesome opportunity to talk with alumni and students and hearing all their stories. And I feel like it's really selfish to keep it to myself. And so I wanted a way to kind of share stories of amazing alumni doing amazing things and students who are, you know, wrestling and trying to figure out their lives. We all remember what that was like. But yeah, hoping that this podcast can be a way to connect, to share stories, to be an encouragement of what God's doing in each other's lives too. And today for our first little session here, we have Alice, who graduated in, 2011.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
I'm just gonna be a dinosaur.
And then we have Carissa, too, who just graduated in 2020. And so, yes, Alice and Carissa have met before virtually and in person, right?
Just virtually.
But they got connected this past year as Carissa was serving as large group coordinator and Alice helped out as an alumni. And so they connected and so they kind of know each other, but enough of me talking. If y'all want to introduce yourselves, maybe, I just introduced your name, but your name, when you graduated, what life stage you're in, profession, where you are right now.
Yeah. Sounds great. Carissa, do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah. I'm Carissa. And as Angela said, I recently graduated in the class of 2020. Yay! And currently, I am home here in Bozeman, Montana, but I'm getting ready to leave next week to start the Pathways Fellowship with the Duke Chapel. If you don't know what the program is, it's a program that tries to kind of combine vocational and faith exploration post-college and also local engagement in Durham. And so I'll be doing that and I'll be working at Duke Family Medicine and Community Health for the year.
Nice. My name is Alice. I'm a physician and just finished my residency in internal medicine in Seattle. And I'm starting my fellowship now in the field of geriatric medicine, which is a specialty that works for the care of the elderly, which is especially relevant in the time of COVID. So I am now in Menlo Park, California, to start, or I have started fellowship at Stanford. So yeah, super excited to have this opportunity to get to hang out with Carissa and Angela. And Carissa, I guess maybe to start off, you know, as a recent grad from college in the time of, you know, COVID and all just the craziness happening in our world, like what's it been like for you?
Yeah.
Nervous laughter.
That's like a super big question. Because I feel like I've gone through every emotion in the last like 4 months, which I'm sure like a lot of seniors could say the same. I think like in terms of graduating in COVID, I think there is a sense of loss and I think people felt that immediately, but I think that sense of loss and sadness comes back every few weeks, a little bit less frequently as you go on. But then like nowadays you're like, occasionally you'll wake up and you're like, I miss being in college. I can't believe I finished. And also like, oh, like even though there's so many things going on in the world, I still wish I graduated. You know, it's like something like a physical ceremony, which so many people, right, didn't get to do, is I think something that you kind of like think about, you're like, oh, it's kind of trivial, but at the same time, it does mean something. And so I think this time for me has been kind of like that. It's kind of like going back and forth in my mind, like, what is actually meaningful? What isn't? What is worth like being sad about? What is worth, you know, just letting go? And I think, you know, I've just come to a place where it's like, you know, it's there are things that I think can be considered trivial, but it's okay if they mean something, right? And but yeah, I think over time it's been really cool to see how like the smallest things become like really meaningful. Like I read Liturgy of the Ordinary, which yeah, kind of like gifts it to all the seniors, and that has been really good for me to just feel really grateful for like where I am right now and the things that I get to do being at home and not having to work. And
I think there's so much lament of sort of the end of an era that comes at the natural end of a college career that is so real and definitely no small thing to go through, that I can only imagine like how much more additional lament there is in a time of COVID where, you know, you don't get that proper closure. So I think it's, you know, like all the grief and lament, whether we feel it's trivial or not, is real. And I think it's giving ourselves permission to feel all of that there definitely should be space for that. So thank you for recognizing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has it been for you, Alice?
So I think COVID, you know, I just graduated residency, which is, I think, not as momentous of a marker as college, but I think similarly grieving sort of the like lack of true, real closure. And then I think COVID in itself, you know, being a physician, it's like, I think I'm one of the few people that still go to work during COVID, like similarly to how I used to go to work before, right? Like, I think my life at work hasn't changed that much, but I think the landscape of work during a global pandemic looks a little bit different than it did before. And yeah, like I spent a lot of time in the last couple of months during COVID just, you know, taking care of patients in the hospital, whether they had COVID or not, who were really scared being separated from their loved ones, because patients were not allowed to have visitors just to protect their safety and the safety of the community. And I think bearing witness to that just made me realize like sort of the deep parts of what makes us human at the end of the day, you know. I haven't shared this with everybody, but it's not a big secret, but one of my family members was actually admitted to the hospital during COVID, for COVID, and like additional other medical issues when I was at the tail end of my residency during like the peak of COVID in Seattle. And my family member wasn't in Seattle. She was like a couple hundred miles away, like in a different state. And so when I found that out, I was like, oh my gosh, like go and visit her. Like my family was like, no, like she's going to be quarantined anyway, so it's not like you can see her. And like, also I think in my mind, I was like, Seattle was like the definite hotspot. This is before like even New York blew up. And so I was like, I don't know that I want to be the doctor on the news as like the super spreader of COVID, you know, to a state that didn't have a lot of COVID quite yet. And so it was just such a challenging decision, right? Like in no other time would you face this choice of like, do I get to be there beside my loved one? And so I just resigned to stay and continue working. I was working on nights at the time. And so I would be admitting people to the hospital on nights and calling families and just like reassuring them as earnestly and genuinely as I could, like, hey, I get it. Like it is so hard to be a family member for somebody you love and not to get to be beside them. And then during the day, I would talk to like the doctors of my family member on the other side of the country and just make sure I understood what was going on. And they were really kind to me too, because they knew how worried I was, you know? And in some ways, there's this sense of like collegiality and humanness that bonded us all, that like we truly depend and need each other. So my family member's doing really well, praise the Lord. She was discharged from the hospital, and she's like on the road to recovery. I am so grateful for that. But I think I also feel for the patients and the families where they didn't have like such an amazing outcome, you know, and especially those who are like on the more marginalized parts of our society, who really experienced some deep, deep suffering during our pandemic. Yeah, Carissa, what has it been like, you know, now that you have graduated, sort of moving and transitioning into like this post-grad life? With pathways?
I think it's only been very recently that I feel like I'm actually, you know, preparing to transition, because I think for a long time it just kind of felt like I was ready to stay here forever. I was like ready to kind of settle down, and I was actually getting really comfortable. I think very recently this past month I was like, you know, like, it's been a long time since I've lived at home for such a long time. And I think that it was like such a blessing to be able to like spend that time with my mom. And like, because I think that over time, like in college, like we just kind of like lost touch, you know, just like didn't communicate as much. There's a lot of miscommunication. And so, wow, that was like very difficult at the beginning of coming back, because it's just like such a sharp transition that like nobody really prepared for. I think over time, it just got so much better, and it was a really good time to have. And so now I think preparing to go to Pathways, I actually feel pretty at peace, which is great. It was like a very like slow kind of ease into it, because like, it took a few months for us to know that Pathways would get approved, given the situation and like the budget cuts and safety issues. So, but like the whole time while I was waiting, I didn't really feel concerned, which I feel very lucky about, I think, right? Also given, right, like where I am and like my options, like I don't need to be concerned as opposed to some other people might have to be, right? But I think transition-wise, I'm very grateful. It's been much smoother than I think it could have been. And I am excited. I think in terms of like, it feels like, it does feel like something new. It does feel like I'm finally entering this like post-college, starting to be an adult. Like I have to worry about health insurance, car insurance. Yes, so I bought a car with my two friends, Grace and Jeanette, and who are also doing Pathways. It's really communal living. So so that's exciting. So there's like a few things that are just kind of like, you know, even though we're in COVID, there's still like some regular like adult things that you get to do and transition.
That's awesome. What I'm curious, like what sorts of new habits and routines have you discovered like in the time of COVID or at home?
some new ones. This was inspired by my friend Jessica. I don't know if she'll hear this, but we started baking sourdough, and so I was like, I should do that.
Oh, yes.
It was, I get why people bake in quarantine. It's so much, it's like good for your mental health, because there was a period of time where I was just like doing absolutely very little. And like, I didn't really have motivation to get up early or anything. And, but like when you're taking care of a sourdough starter, you have something to do every morning.
Yeah, that's so true.
Exactly. And so, and it was kind of like a fun challenge. Like mine grew mold at the beginning, but I saved it. And so it's like finally successful.
And awesome.
Yeah. So that's so new. Yeah, I recommend. Yeah. How about you guys? Or Alice, do you have any new hobbies? I'm sure it's still busy.
It's been good, actually. You know, things, I think because I couldn't go out as much, like after work, and there were like work has like confined hours of the day, I ended up just having a lot more free time in the mornings and evenings to myself, which I really appreciated. And so something I've been doing more is just reading and journaling. I actually am not a big reader growing up. And surprisingly, I think I've read more in residency than I have read in any other period of my life, which is crazy, but super rewarding. But I have loved this early morning routine I do where I like still get up pretty early, make like a coffee. We have an espresso machine. One of my housemates has one. And then I'll sit down, like read a chapter or two of the Bible. I just read through Jeremiah, which was good and a little depressing, but good. I just finished this book of poetry. And so I've been reading a book called How to Be Anti-Racist by Ibram Kendi, which I think has been making the rounds. Super, super great book that talks about a lot of the nuances of like racism and equity. Anyways, highly recommend. But yeah, I think one thing that God's been teaching me a lot about in COVID with sort of these simple routines. And I don't know if you've experienced this as well, Carissa, but just the sense of like permission to just be. I feel like, you know, as Duke students, like we were all such efficient, like competitive, productive people. And I felt that way like afterwards, right? Like in medical school and residency. I still remember as a Duke student, like I would literally have my laptop and on the quad when somebody was like, hey, do you want to hang out? And if it was somebody that mattered to me, I'd be like, yeah. And then I would literally whip out my Google Calendar and like look 2 weeks in advance to schedule something, right? Like how ridiculous is that? I mean, that probably still happens for a lot of students, but there was just like literally no margins in my life. But I think now it's this like super strange but amazing feeling of like, oh my gosh, like I can just exist in this world loved already without any sort of sense of like, I need to produce anything, you know, like yeah. There were days on the weekends with, I literally like a good morning is like when I woke up at 9, drank some coffee, read a book for 2 hours, took a nap, and then woke up in time for lunch, you know, like that would be like unheard of in my prior life. But that's just been super fun. I don't know if you've had similar experiences.
Yes. I think, yeah, I definitely think that's been something that I've been trying harder to do. It's like from the moment I wake up, right? Like, do I feel like, am I settling into the day knowing that like I am already enough, as opposed to like, because what really stood out to me, so when I was reading the Liturgy of the Ordinary, there's a chapter that talks about like in the Jewish tradition the day starts at night or at midnight, which is very interesting, right? Your day starts when you're like when we are usually very tired, and we think that we've already done everything, but that's when the day starts, and we're not doing anything while we're sleeping. And so I think that was really interesting to think about. And I think given like all the things going on in this country with race and justice, inequality, I think that kind of adds in like a different tension into what it means to just be enough and also to still be active, right? And I think that that's what I've struggled a lot with at times, especially early June when everything was like just getting really tense, right, in the nation. And I think there are a few weeks where I was just like, oh my God, like I don't know what to do, like I should do something. And so that, and it turns into this really like negative, like nervous tension. And I realized it's just like getting caught in this like echo chamber, right? And so it's been a process like over the last 2 months of like kind of thinking about how to like just figuring out my own way of kind of like working through that journey, right? Like what is my journey in like thinking about race and justice mm-hmm. as opposed to what is Instagram saying, you know, about my journey. But I guess my question for you is like, once you started med school, do you feel like thinking about issues on race changed for you or?
Yeah, totally. I think college, I've started thinking about some issues of race at a very like basic level through university and literally like friends who've shared their personal experiences with me. And then med school was, I think, when I started becoming a rabble rouser. because like, I think, you know, I always believe that your professional identity should be an augment of who you are and what God calls you to, as opposed to you trying to fit into some square or box of like, you know, whatever your job defines you to be. And for me, medicine was always a lens of seeking to empower individuals and communities and being a part of their stories and being changed by those stories myself, like a bi-directional transformative journey, I guess, was what I loved most about medicine. And I feel like we can't be good clinicians and healers without recognizing some of the deep things that ail our world and our community. It bleeds so profusely into our patients. Like the reason that my patients show up to clinic and ask me if it's okay for them to go back to their housekeeping job when it's obviously not safe is because they're an undocumented immigrant who will have no income if they don't work, you know? And like, those are my patients who are getting COVID. And, you know, in the wake of like the George Floyd protests too, like it is not crazy that my Black and Brown patients experience systemic injustice and violence and then are inherently distrustful of institutions like hospitals and clinics and the police, right? Because those institutions have mistreated them and wreaked havoc in their communities. And so I think, as a medical student and as a resident, I think it is such a big part of I think what it means to be a healer and how to engage in it without burning out is like a real challenge. But I will say that two things. One, that I totally echo what you said, Carissa, which is that like our journey for where we are called in these spaces is totally our journey and not like whatever Instagram is. I think there's so much pressure, especially for young people, to prove that they are like woke and that they're engaged and that they're protesting and they're posting certain things on their social media. And I think that can be really exhausting. I think it's okay to take time to just be like, today I'm just gonna take a nap for 3 hours and post or read anything because you need that to sustain yourself. And then I think the other thing is like engaging in these issues have been some of the most rewarding parts of my professional journey and have really been life-giving. I started being a part of a resident diversity committee. When I was a medical student, I was part of a student group called Do No Harm, and we started protesting police brutality in San Francisco, and it was the first time I was like an advocate and literally like protesting in City Hall. I was like, oh my gosh, am I allowed to do this? You know, I'm such a rule follower, like, is this allowed? But it was liberating. Like, yes, like, you know, like doctors should speak into systemic injustice because this is so real for the people that we take care of. And then as a resident, I started being part of the resident diversity committee and then eventually being a co-chair of that committee to recruit more underrepresented minorities into medicine and help create curriculum around justice and equity. And, you know, honestly, like I felt more energy sitting in those committee meetings than, like, I don't know, like studying for step one or like doing any kind of research work. Not that I didn't care about my studies, but just because it's like, it gave me so much fuel and purpose to my work. So I think that duality of like finding what fuels you, but also giving yourself permission to like not be on every day is really important.
Mm-hmm. Krissa, you are applying right now, right?
Yes. I'm currently applying to medical school. I even recently asked Alice if she could read some of my essays.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, if anyone else is listening to this podcast and would like an essay reader, I'm available. No promises that it'll get you into med school, but
I have high expectations. I expect to, no, I'm kidding. But yeah, I am applying. The process starts like in May-ish, it really like starts to ramp up, and then you turn in your application in like early June, and now we're in like secondary, so I'm like just writing a lot. To anybody out there who's also writing a lot right now, good luck. I'm sure it's really difficult. Yeah, I think like in terms of that, I do think that it's one of those things in my life where I realize I'm like, oh my God, like this one thing can make me feel so like so negative about myself, you know? It makes me feel like, I don't know what I'm like saying, I can't express myself, like did I actually do anything meaningful, or like you know, should I spend this much effort? You know, those questions, I think occasionally, right, like it just builds up, you know, if I just continuously like push. And so that's why I think one thing is that I've learned over the last like month or a few months is just like, I really need to take a step back sometimes and just, right, like Alice was talking about with other things, right, just rest, right? And I think, and realize that apart from these applications and apart where that will take me in my life, right, like now still exists. Right. And to be honest, I think like it's really interesting to be applying during COVID and just to be right in a time of transition in your career or in like for me, right, moving towards a career. I think it gives you, it's a good check on your perspective, right? It's like, it's a good check for you to be like, you know what, I might not even make it to the point, even if I get in, right? Like maybe I won't even make it there, right? That's really extreme to think about, but the truth is like you have to care about what you're doing now, right? Like I do also have to care about, right, like spending time at home and being present, and also trying my best, right, to do medical school applications, but and kind of balancing that, right? It's not like medical school doesn't matter, it's like a future thing, it's like now doesn't matter, but finding that balance.
I love just how honest you are about that sense of scrutiny and the question of worthiness when it comes to like pursuing career, and you know, any application process that's really competitive, like medical school. Like, tell me more about sort of your thoughts on that, and like if God's spoken in any way into that process.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say the way that God has spoken into it has been very like slow, and very like gradual.
Because
I think it really started just like almost like probably like a few years ago. I think like when I consider how I got here, I'm like actually kind of surprised that I'm finally applying to medical school and that I decided and I committed to it. For me, I think it was around end of sophomore year, throughout junior year, where I just really just took a step back from everything that was necessarily like prescribed, like pre-med things, and try to discern, right? Like, what is it really what I think God is calling me to, or is it just something that I feel like is my status quo because I thought I was going to do that? And I think even through senior year, I was like, I don't know, like, I don't know if I'm going to decide to do it. Maybe I need another year. And what was just so, I mean, it just kind of felt like the right time for me to apply because I think a lot of my concerns leading up were from like, I don't know if I can sit down and do it well. Like I need time to reflect, to be able to say and commit to doing this. Cause like I'm the sort of person who's like, I can commit, but I have to like know, like I have to think through everything before I commit to doing it. Or I think through everything, but I don't. So I think that was a way that he did work, just kind of like in the right time. Like I felt like I was able to do it. And I think through this process, kind of being able to not be as indecisive as I was in the past and to be like, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to apply to this amount of schools and I'm just going to see what happens and do my best.
I think there's a certain level of courage that it takes to take one step forward, not knowing like with any certainty what the future looks like. And I'm sure a lot of people are in your shoes right now, Carissa, whether they're recent college grads or not. I love that idea of, the struggle of like needing to know sort of what's going to happen and whether or not you quote unquote have what it takes, and then yet just trusting in the Lord that like, all right, I'm just going to try this thing and we'll see where it goes. I think one of the things that God's taught me, and I continue to learn this lesson, is that as somebody who really values certainty and control, is that life is so totally not in our control. And I think all that God asks of us is to lay down an altar, whichever space we walk into. And that each step, if we remember to lay down the altar for him, that is enough. And the next step will naturally unfold. I think that has carried me well into a lot of spaces that have been really uncertain in my personal life and in my professional life. And then I think the other thing that you've expressed, which I think is also so real to me, you know, now, and I imagine for the rest of my career too, is the sense of like enoughness, the sense of like, am I good enough or whatever, whatever? Am I like this type of person enough to be a medical student or a doctor or, you know, a lawyer or engineer or a nonprofit person, whatever it is, a staff worker? I experienced so much of that applying to medical school myself. And then like at every stage of advancement, right? Like that imposter syndrome doesn't go away once you've made it to whatever level you're at. And I think one thing that I've been hearing from God and seeing in other people who are my torchbearers is just this idea that it's not about whether or not we are good enough for the gates that we're trying to knock on. But it's really what who we are and the journey that we're on and seeing like whether or not we can find opportunities and people who can like accompany us on that journey.
Yes, I agree.
Well, thank you both so much. I think it was amazing to kind of hear what God's been doing in both your lives and also just how y'all have been processing and thinking through current events. Yeah, it's a huge encouragement to me and just in general, I'm really grateful for our relationships. Carissa, thank you for being an amazing student and now alumni.
Yay.
And I am really excited to have you in Durham. And Alice, I realized we have never actually met in person either.
No. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We gotta change that. Maybe I'll come to Durham once they allow people to fly over and I don't have to.
But realizing just like, and I think there have been many alumni like you, but particularly you and how supportive you've been of me coming on staff and not even knowing who I was and yet developing this friendship. And I don't know, I've been so grateful. So thank you both for your time, for your words, for your love. And are you all open to people reaching out to you? And if so, what would be the best way to reach out to you all?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to have folks reach out. I think, as I said earlier, if I can be a source of support, prayer, conversation for anything in life, medical school, feel free to reach out. Email is probably best for me. My email, and I don't know if there's like a show notes area, Angela, that you can put this up, but it's just alice.y as in yogurt .mao, M-A-O at gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm happy for anyone to reach out to me. And if they have my Facebook, they can reach out to me on Facebook. And my email is karissa.tu2@gmail.com if they want to email me.
Great. Yeah, thank you all so much. And hope you all have an amazing transition to Durham and then to fellowship and in California. And till next time.
Till next time.